I don't know about you, I'm nice and toasty. I've got my gilet on. Do you like my gilet? My jolly gilet. Fantastic. I thought I'd start this morning with a question, okay? This is a question really for the children amongst us, because as you will find out when you hear what the question is, it's kind of less relevant maybe for those of us that are no longer children. My question is, and this is a question that you might get from time to time, and as you get older, it's a question that becomes more and more important. The question is, what do you want to be when you grow up? Now, I've got a roving mic. Sorry, it's a roving Vicky with a mic who's going to go around. Yep, go on, go and let's see. What do you want to be when you grow up?
A footballer.
A what?
A footballer.
A footballer, fantastic.
Footballer.
Footballer, got two footballers in the church, amazing. Anyway, so look, Vicky, there's loads at the back. Look at all those hands up at the back.
Long way to go.
Go, Vicky. Squeezing through the tables.
When I grow up, I want to be a fireman.
A fireman.
See you later.
Thank you, James.
A footballer.
Footballer. Gracious me.
An actor.
An actor. Wow.
An actor.
An actor.
Doctor.
Actor.
Actor.
A broadcast engineer.
A broadcast engineer. Thanks, Phil. Yeah, when I grow up, I'm not sure what I want to be. I probably want to be a, I don't know, perhaps I'll be a footballer as well. Seems to be the thing. Okay, so I've got another little question. Okay, you might need to use your imagination a little bit more for this. What do you think children growing up at the time of Jesus might have wanted to be? Okay, there were no footballers. Okay, there might be one or two actors, I suppose. But what do you think children growing up at the time of Jesus might have been? Vicky, over here, to your left. Left, 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 left. So back in the day, at times in, say, Bethlehem in Judea.
A fisherman.
A missionary. Whoa, very good. Oh, fisherman. A missionary fisherman. Sorry, dear. Well, a fisherman, missionary, you know, kind of same kind of thing, really. I have to get my hearing checked.
Carpenter.
A carpenter. Very good.
He's forgotten.
What do you think people in Jesus' day would have been when they grew up? What
again, the question repeated at the back.
A tax collector.
Ooh. Ooh.
A washing machine person.
A washing machine person.
Wash your... A soldier.
A soldier. Okay.
You don't know.
Okay.
You don't know yet.
I can tell you there's one thing that the children growing up in the time of Jesus would not have wanted to be. What do you think that is? Anyone think what kind of job would the children around the time of Jesus absolutely say, whoa, no thank you, I don't want to be one of those. What would it have been? Any ideas? I'll have
to
tell you. A doctor. No, I think some of them might have actually wanted to be a doctor. No, the thing that children in the time of Jesus would not have wanted to be is...
A sewage man.
A sewage man. Okay, well, I guess might not have been a very kind of popular job, but there was something that was even worse, and that was a shepherd, actually. Okay, because shepherds were not a kind of, not considered to be a very sort of nice people. If you went to your mum and dad and said, Mummy, Daddy, I really, 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 really want to be a shepherd when I grow up, they would say, what? What, a shepherd? A dishonest, smelly, kind of horrible, thieving, ugly shepherd out with the sheep all the time? No way are you going to be a shepherd. Shepherds were just not on the agenda as far as children were concerned back in the day. The thing was, if you wanted to be really rich, you might perhaps want to be a tax collector if you were happy not to have any friends. But if you were a shepherd, you'd be really poor and have no friends, which is a really, really bad place to be. The thing was that people in the time of Jesus thought the shepherds were dishonest, they were cheats, they were thieves, they were liars, they were losers. You couldn't trust a shepherd. And they smelt of sheep. I mean, that's just not a kind of sociable thing to smell of. Shopkeepers wouldn't want them in their shops. Innkeepers wouldn't want them in their inns. And ordinary people wouldn't invite them into their homes. They were nothing but trouble, these shepherds. And being a shepherd was a really lonely way of life, spending most of the time out there in the middle of nowhere with nothing but a load of bleating sheep for company. And not going home at night, not going and resting in a nice warm bed at night, no way. No, staying up all night watching those poor old sheep in the fields, making sure they didn't come to any harm. The thing is, sheep are not very clever animals. And they're not very strong animals. They're not very good at defending themselves. So the shepherds would have to sort of share this role between them, and somebody would be nominated to stay up all night and just make sure the sheep didn't go wandering off and getting themselves lost, or didn't get attacked by a wild animal, or worse still, stolen by another shepherd. Yep, that's the kind of thing that went on. And being away most of the time, these shepherds, they weren't really part of a community. They couldn't go to the synagogue on the Sabbath, didn't get to go to the temple. So the religious people didn't like them very much either. They thought they weren't just untrustworthy. They were unclean. They weren't, you know, they didn't sort of take part in the things that as a good God-fearing person should take part in. These poor shepherds were separated from God's worshipping and sacrificing people. They were just considered to be bad, bad, bad. Suddenly, the part of shepherd in the nativity play next year is beginning to look like the part you don't want, doesn't it? Really? So you budding actors, you're going to have to really get into that part if you're going to do it next year. The thing is, if I'd been a shepherd up on the hills around Bethlehem back in the day, I'd have been a little bit cross about the attitude of the religious leaders and the people about us shepherds. After all, most of the lambs that I'd be looking after would probably end up going to the temple to be sacrificed. Where did they think they came from? Who did they think looked after them and made them so that they were in a good condition to be sacrificed? Us shepherds, that's who. They'd let my lambs into the temple, wouldn't they? But if I tried to get there, I'd get chucked out. Wasn't right. Wasn't fair. Wasn't justified. And I wonder if that was what a bunch of shepherds were chatting about on that hillside outside Bethlehem on that night. Complaining about how poor they were. Muttering about the attitudes of the people who thought they were so good and so holy because they'd been to the temple and sacrificed a lamb. Well, it was probably one of my lambs, wasn't it? Then suddenly they realised, as they were muttering and as they were chatting, there was this strange glowing guy standing with them. What's going on? Where did he come from? But then they become aware of something much, much more amazing. A glow all around them, becoming stronger. Now a light, the sense of a strong presence, a sense of great goodness, of great power, of great love, of great holiness and purity, a shining presence. Not someone they could see, but someone whose glory had drawn near to them, had come down over them. God himself is here. Really, really here. What's happening? This is the kind of thing that only happened like when a temple was built and it was dedicated to God. God would turn up. Well, the kind of thing that happened to incredibly important people. People like Elijah and Moses. I mean, these people are really, really up there in terms of holiness and goodness and importance to God. What's God doing here with us in the middle of the night? They were terrified. Then this strange glowing man speaks to them. Don't be afraid, he says. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everyone all across the world. A saviour has just been born in David's town. A saviour who is Messiah and Master. And this is what you're to look for. A baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a feeding trough for animals. These poor, terrified shepherds are trying to get their heads around all this. Don't be afraid. Okay, that's good. That's good. Something about an announcement? Something great and really joyful? Okay, this is sounding better and better. Something that's for everybody. Wow. The whole world. A saviour. The Messiah. Wow, this is amazing. Then what's that about? This thing about going to find him and looking for him and finding him in a manger, in a kind of animal feeding trough type thing. You're having a laugh, aren't you? Surely that can't be right. The Messiah in an animal's feeding trough. But then if he'd been blown away by this strange glowing guy turning up and this presence, this incredible holy presence of God, they're about to get an even more mind-blowing experience. Because suddenly the sky is full of light, glowing people singing the most beautiful song. This isn't just a few hundred of these beautiful creatures. It is literally a sky full. It's like a live concert of this massive, incredible choir singing just for them. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests, they sang. And this singing goes on, and they are just blown away. I don't know if you've got a kind of a hi-fi system at home, and sometimes you put a piece of music on and it just, you feel it washing over you. Well, that music washed over those shepherds on that night and blew them away. And then suddenly it was gone. Just a few echoes across the hills. The choir has disappeared. The glowing guy has left. And that wonderful presence of God, that frightening, awesome, holy, loving presence of God has gone too. They look at one another. The fear has gone. They can hardly believe their ears. Did he really say the Messiah? Yes, he did. But what was that about the baby being laid in a feeding trough? That can't be right, can it? But that's what he said. He said that we would know it was the right baby because we would find it in a feeding trough wrapped up in a blanket. So what are we waiting for? They said to each other. Let's go. And they ran to Bethlehem. They begin searching the sheds, the outhouses, the stables around the town. No need to go knocking on anyone's doors. They can just creep round the back and have a little peek into those little places. Until, here it is. An old cattle shed, a very tired but happy young woman and her man gazing adoringly into a feeding trough. You don't look like that into a pile of hay. So they creep in, almost afraid to break this incredible moment for this couple. Is this the Messiah? They say. The woman turns to them. Yes, it is, she says. Come and see him. He's so beautiful. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have experienced as a shepherd. A reject. Somebody that was despised by the people of that time. A poor, poor shepherd. But what was God doing announcing the birth of his son to a bunch of shepherds? When our little grandson was born earlier in the year, it's this sort of sense of a kind of the visiting rites, the first people to see the newborn baby. And as grandparents, of course, one is privileged to be very high up the kind of the visiting rites league. So we were one of the first people to see little Noah. But God chose a bunch of shepherds to invite to see his little baby, his newborn son. Didn't he realise they were dirty, dishonest, disrespectful people, unclean, a bunch of nobodies from the middle of nowhere? But of course he knew, didn't he? These were exactly the people he wanted to be the first to visit his newborn son. This good news is for everyone. Nobody is too poor, nobody too low, nobody too dirty or smelly. Nobody too insignificant or small. Nobody is a nobody as far as the living God is concerned. But of course it had to be shepherds, didn't it? Because lying in that feeding trough would be the Lamb of God who would die to take away the sins of the world. The final and only truly effective sacrifice for us, the Lamb of God. If the mighty, holy, living God was prepared to visit a bunch of smelly shepherds on a hillside near Bethlehem, might not that same wonderful, holy, pure, loving God visit us over this Christmas time? Yes, he will, if you want him, if you ask him. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to finish this morning, because I know you're cold. A wonderful thing is when you're feeling like, you know, something like cold, you're conscious of something and your attention is taken by something better, you forget about the condition. Well, Bob has shared with us something wonderful, and we're just going to finish. Johnny and the musicians, do you want to just come and we're going to just sing the chorus of O Come All Ye Faithful, O Come Let Us Adore Him. And so we can forget the overheads, we can forget that we're singing a carol, and let's just focus on the words, O come, let us adore him. And as Bob has shared this morning, let's consider some aspect, some reason that we can praise him this morning and adore him. We're going to sing, O come, let us adore him, for he alone is worthy. Let's give him all the glory. These are wonderful words. So let's stand. By the way, some people missed the offering earlier in all the hugging and greeting. So the offering bucket's still there if you missed the first opportunity. But let's stand, shall we? Father, we want to just thank you as we worship you this morning, that Jesus is worthy. Father, we want to join with the angels in heaven. Thank you that they were praising and glorifying God, because they could see in heaven the one who was about to come upon this earth. Father, we thank you that this one came, he lived, he died, he rose again. And he is in heaven now, and the angels are singing, worthy, worthy, worthy. Would you help us as we worship you this morning to be as captivated as the angels are, who sing for eternity around that throne, worthy is the Lamb. Jesus.
Lord, we just want to invite you to come into our Christmases, Lord, in this next few days. Father, we want to invite you to come into our journeys, into our families, into all that we're doing, Lord. Would you come in? Would you visit our hearts, Lord? And would you really come amongst us, Lord, as we go out from here now, Lord? We just give you this Christmas. We praise you that you are Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, would you come and be with us, Lord, in such a real way? Amen. Amen.
Amen. Jesus came into our Bethlehems, into the mess, into the food manger. What an amazing thing that God chose that place to send his son, and the shepherds to be the first there. What an amazing thing. What an amazing God. How interested he is in the poorest, the most wretched state of humankind. If there's any of us here this morning who have a great need and you'd like somebody to pray with you, then do find someone around to pray with. Feel free to come and pray with me or Joe or Bob or Vicky or anybody. Our God is the God of Bethlehem. Amen. Let's Joe, yeah.
The listening winners. These are the people who are really listening. Do you want to sit down for a sec? I'll come round and give out some chocolates. Patrick was really listening. Miriam was really listening. Elizabeth was really listening. Who else was? Joe and Luke and your friend there were all really listening. I'm going to give out some sweets in a minute. And Latana was really listening. And Daniel was really listening. James Crawley, yes, he's self-appointing himself as a great listener. He's our final one. Well done.
Amen. Thank you. So have a very happy Christmas, and we'll see you here in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, it's Chalk Farm. Do you want to come and grab a seat? Just while while you're getting a seat, some of you have plenty of time to talk to each other in Costa Coffee. I just wanted to apologise for the mix-up over this morning. Somehow between us and the school, they didn't book us for today. But we thank God for every small mercy we can find, like that the caretaker did get here when she did. So we really appreciate that. And I'm reminded of the Chinese church who are faced with this situation and worse every Sunday. So we're grateful that we got somewhere relatively warm that we can worship the Lord together and have fellowship this morning. Amen? Amen?
Close the door.
Amen. I wanted to just start this morning by mentioning a verse that I read this morning. It's the only verse I read this morning. And normally when I have my quiet time, I read one or two passages of scripture, but I got completely stuck on one little verse. It's Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1. And this is what it says. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. And that's what we're here this morning to do. We are here to rejoice in Him. Now, I don't know what's going on in your life this morning, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's difficult, but there's one thing that we can all do. We can rejoice in Him. Because in the worst circumstances, He is there. Our theme this morning is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And in the slight chaos of this morning, I want to just thank everybody that set up so quickly. And for those of you that don't normally get involved in the setting it up, you've seen what happens, but in about double the time. And it feels a bit like Bethlehem, where there was no room and there were animals making noises and smelly animals in that place where Jesus was born. And the whole point of that was that God sent His Son into the mess and the mix-up of our world. And He just meets us this morning where we are. So let's just take a moment before we sing the first carol to just rejoice in Him. Let's stand, shall we? It says in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Father, we come to You this morning with all the muddle and the mess of our lives, Lord. And we thank You that You sent Your Son from a glorious heaven into this world of sin and darkness to start to transform it, to touch lives and to change lives. And Father, this morning we invite Your Holy Spirit into our hearts, Lord. And we say, Lord, would You meet with us today? As we sing the carols, as we sing the songs, as we listen to the readings and the words, Father, we have one request, that we might meet with our God today. Help us to concentrate on You today. Let us open our hearts to You at this very moment in time. Thank You that You are God with us now. Not in the future, Lord, but You draw near now. Father, You said that if You draw near to Me, I will draw near to You. Lord, we're drawing near in our hearts, Lord. Would You draw near to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Fantastic. Do you want to just sit down for a moment? I know it's really cold. You're going to have to... It's not cold. Raymond says it's not cold. I sort of feel it is a little cold. You may need to sort of cuddle up to the people around you just very quickly. That fantastic name of Jesus, Emmanuel, could one of the children tell us what that name means? Any of the children remember what that name Emmanuel means? Ah, Daniel does. Can you shout it out?
God is with us.
He doesn't like the microphones. But he got it right. It means God is with us. And this name Emmanuel has come to mean so much to me. It's kind of got on the inside for me. And this idea that God is with us at all times and in our chaos, and he's with us not just at Christmas, but he is with us still in January. And it comes from this beautiful verse that comes from, it's quoted in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and it says this. It says about the Christmas story, it says, so all this was done. It's talking about Mary and Joseph and the baby being born. It was all done to fulfill that which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and she will bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And it's like the Bible actually specifies, it's translated God with us. And so even in this freezing cold, very late carol service morning, he is with us. He is Emmanuel, which is this incredible name. And for me, this thing of Emmanuel is so amazing because he's not looking for perfection. He's not looking for perfection in our lives. He's looking for room. He's looking for room. In the end, somebody in Bethlehem found him some room. That innkeeper found him something. He found him some room. And he's looking for room in my heart, yeah, today, in my Christmas, in my relationships, in my muddle. And it was a stable, you know, it was a stable. It was a muddle where he came to. It wasn't a great place. And this is what he's looking for. He's looking to come into our stables. And we've got stables in our lives, you know, and it could be illnesses. It could be finances. It could be difficult relationships. But he wants to be Emmanuel to us this Christmas, not some word out there, but something really real in our lives. And I'm just going to very quickly tell you something that's happened. In November, we went on holiday, and just as we arrived at the holiday place, I wasn't on my emails, but I got a call from work, and I looked at the name, and I thought, oh no, this isn't good, because they knew I was on holiday. And they said, something's gone wrong to do with work and to do with people who are working around you. We desperately need your help, but we know you're on holiday, so could you, when you come back, it's going to be full on. And so the whole holiday, I'm thinking, oh no. So on the way back, as we drove, Nick said to me, what I'd forgotten, he said, do you realize that God has allowed this to happen? He's allowed this difficult situation. And after about 5 minutes of complaining about it, I had to agree that he was right. And so we decided to pray in the car, and we prayed, Lord, you are Emmanuel. Could you come and be God with me in this really difficult situation I was coming back to? And I came back to it, and Raymond talks about times at work when the emails are coming so that it moves on the screen. And for the first time ever, I'm watching these emails move, and I'm thinking, well, I just hope that we can keep these plates spinning, because there were so many emails coming in. It was so busy. So I went to the people who I work with, and I said, you've got to find me somebody. You've got to help me. And the trouble is, you can't just suddenly find someone. You know, you might, because somebody good, they're going to have to give notice, and it's all going to take time, and you've got to advertise. And so I just said to them, we just need somebody. And the following week, as I watched, about 10 days ago, as I was watching the emails moving again and thinking, and I was starting to skim read them, you know, sometimes just reading the title of the email and hoping that I kind of roughly knew what was happening. And then I saw one, and it said, his name is Emmanuel. This was on my NHS mail. And I thought, somebody's got muddled up here. So why are they sending me this verse on my NHS mail? His name is Emmanuel, it said. And I stopped skim reading, went into the email, and it said, we found you someone, Joe, and his name is Emmanuel. And I just texted Raymond, and I said, he's come, he's called Emmanuel. I was so thrilled. And he came. He came last week. I've done 3 days with him. We've had a wonderful time. And God has really come and helped me. And his name is Emmanuel. So there we go. We're going to sing Silent Night, which Jangmi and Jinju sang to us last week, but we haven't got them here. So we're going to have to sing it. The words are absolutely incredible. And this was written in an Emmanuel situation where the organ had broken down and the church had flooded. And it was actually originally written to guitar music over 200 years ago. But in the midst of all of that, it's become one of the most famous songs ever sung. And it's become part of our intangible something or other world heritage declared by UNESCO, because it's sung so globally, this song, that's what they've declared it to be. So we are going to sing it this morning, and then we're going to sing one other, and then we're going to go into the offering. Fantastic. We're going to stand again. We need to stand. We need to stand to keep warm.
Do sit down just for a moment. Just wanted to, first of all, just say thank you to everybody. A massive, massive thank you for all the work that went into the carols last week. The setting up, the food, the PA, the audio, the singing, the greeting, the ecos, really everything. The dramas, everything about it was really wonderful. Every year we seem to say the best ever, and it really was great. So thank you so much for all the effort. Just wanted to remind you of a couple of things. So first of all, the offering for the India project that we do with Gerard and Jeannie. Just wanted to encourage you that the offering was over £1,800. £1,800. I sent a message to Gerard yesterday saying I think it was more than 1,000. So that's fantastic. And Jan wanted to say that if anybody actually missed out and wanted to give, then it's not too late. Maybe before January the 1st, let Jan know if you didn't get there in time. So that's really exciting, isn't it? There's going to be a lot of happy people and children as a result of what we've done. All those shoe boxes, there were nearly 50 shoe boxes, which is pretty much the same as the year before. This Christmas, those children are going to be opening those shoe boxes and feeling the love of Jesus through that. And that India project is going to open up many hearts. So well done, everybody. And thank you, God, for giving us the grace. Really fantastic. Just to warn you, remind you, if you've got your newsletter, has anybody not got a newsletter? Yeah, hands up if you haven't got a newsletter. Everybody's got one. That's great. Well, on the front right-hand side, excuse me, my voice is going. Too much praise this morning. Christmas Day at Chalk Farm, 25th at 11 o'clock. And we always have, to me, it's the best service of the year. With Revelation, with Chalk Farm, we have a wonderful time. So do come along to that. It's only an hour, but we have a great time. And then the following Sunday, we're not going to be here next Sunday. We're going to be at Chalk Farm. And then New Year's evening, every year it gets bigger. Some people call it a crossover, but it's going to be, it's our New Year's Eve thing at 10:30 p.m. We're meeting at Chalk Farm, and we have a little encouragement, and we pray and we praise until midnight, and then everybody goes home. It's a wonderful way to spend the new year. So that also is at Chalk Farm Baptist Church on the 31st of December at 10:30. And then, just to mention a couple of things in the new year, first of all, Alpha is starting again. Have we got an Alpha overhead? There we are. So on the 29th of January, the reason I'm mentioning this now is actually over Christmas. Think about, pray about who you can invite to that. Every time we do that, it seems to get better. But it only works as we actually bring people to Alpha ourselves. So think about, pray about who you could bring to Alpha. And then the final thing is on the 21st of January, just a date for your diary. We're having a theme of prayer. And so our deeper waters in January is with Chalk Farm Baptist Church and Revelation Church. And there'll be a lot of people there coming to Highgate Road Chapel for our Tuesday night. And we're going to have a wonderful time of prayer. We're going to be praying for personal and corporate revival. God is doing a great work in Kentish Town. There are a number of very lively churches. People are coming to Jesus. It's a very exciting time. And we want to get together and pray together for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So put that in your diary. So they only now to mention that we have a very special speaker here this morning, Mr. Bob Suster, who I understand is going to give us a brief but a wonderful word.